Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today comes from John 15, 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
Thank you, B. Let's all bow our heads and pray, everybody. Father, I thank you that you call us into friendship. I thank you, Lord, that it's wonderful to be called your friends. I thank you that you laid your life down. You didn't just teach this, but you laid your life down in order that we may be called your friends. So I thank you for friendship this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, your children and your friends, that your word would illuminate our lives and all that you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. So we're starting a new series called One Anothering. And we're going to be going through four specific areas of how to love one another. God's solution for the relational equation. And this series is going to be slightly different in the sense that we'll be going a lot more thematically. Usually we go in an expository fashion through the scriptures, but this time we're going to go through things thematically throughout scripture. So you don't want to miss this series because I know we're going to cover a lot of topics that are interesting. Today we're going to be talking about the lost art of friendship. I know that, you know, sometimes as Christians, that can be the struggle is how do we friend, right? Then next week we're going to be addressing the topic of loneliness. Yeah, we're going there. And then the third week we'll be talking about singleness. That's right. And then the last topic we'll be talking about is dating / courtship, engagement, and marriage. So pray for your pastor because we're going to be going there, okay? Turn to somebody and encourage them. Oh, he's going there. All right. So today's topic we're going to be talking about is how to friend. How to friend. We're going to, again, like I said, we're going to be looking thematically throughout all of the scriptures so as to draw biblical conclusions and then look at a key text, the text of which Bianca read and hopefully exposited it. But I wanted to ask this question, and this is an actual question that I posed on my own personal social media accounts earlier this week. And it was the question, some of you may have seen it, I saw a lot of your answers to it, and a lot of these answers that you've said, I'm actually going to try and categorize them, but we're going to look thematically through scripture and look at the emerging themes of how God would have us be friends, all right? So it's kind of interesting, too, that I would propose this question to my Facebook friends, you know, for all the old people that are on Facebook, because all the younger ones are on Instagram and TikTok and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then, and it's kind of interesting because most of my answers came from Facebook, which speaks to my own age, right? But I'm going to read a few of these answers and kind of categorize them in these topics that emerge. So as we look through, as we're looking at this, we're going to, look at what emerges as kind of the main topics here around friendship. I'm going to start with the topic of this, with this theme here, which is that God has designed friendships to be unconditionally loving. How many of you know this to be true? Right? Unconditionally loving. So some of the answers that I got around this, some of you remember our sister Dulce who used to live here in Brisbane. She said, a friend is someone who hears you when you need to vent or doesn't judge you there when you need them. I think that's true, right? How many of you have those sorts of friends in your life? Someone you feel close to no matter what the distance or the length of time that you've been apart, always there to pick you up where you left off. Pastor Colleen from Christchurch, she said, friends hear and know you, like all of you. So there's a specific like vulnerability. Friends continue to see and to believe the best about you, and don't stumble over the bad. Friends are gifts in your journey of life. How many of you have those sorts of sort of friends in your life. My nephew, Joey, jumped on my Instagram and he said that friends are supportive and accepting, especially when they're rich. So I think he was trying to get some money out of his uncle. Jeremy, obviously from our church, he said, someone who is like Sam Gamgee. Do you know, how many of you know who Sam Gamgee is? From Lord of the Rings. Okay, we have only three people who have either read or seen the movies. When you're going through something rough and think you need to do it alone, Sam Gamgee comes running out of the water and says, I know you're going alone, Mr. Frodo, but I'm coming with you. Many of you remember Riz, who used to be our campus leader in at UQ, who's now in the Philippines. She said, a true friend is someone who offers a safe place for you to be vulnerable and come as you are, who listens with genuine interest, respect, and empathy. That theme is going to emerge quite a lot, the whole theme of being able to listen. So these are aspects of unconditional living. So when we look at that, we look at John chapter 15 again, the passage that we just read. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How many of you know that Jesus loves you this morning? Right? And thankful for that love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his what?
Friends.
Lays down his or her life for his friends. If you want to know what the biblical, the anchoring definition around Jesus' design for friendship is, someone who's willing to lay down their lives for one another. But notice that it starts with Christ. 1 John 4, verse 11 says that we love because what? He first loved us. So there is no loving without us experiencing first his love for us. There is no knowing how to friend without experiencing first his friendship. So it starts with him. Friendship starts with him. In Proverbs, it says, a friend loves at all times, or in the King James, loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I'd say that that's the same for sisters as well. A sister is born for adversity. You can tell a good friend when you're going through a rough time and the pressure is on, they are there for you. They're not going to be judgmental. They're going to walk alongside you through that storm. How many of you are beginning to think about certain friends that you might have? So this is important for us to see. I often think about the model of friendship that we see in 1 Samuel with the friendship between King David and Jonathan, who was the son of that king at the time, Saul. How many of you are familiar with that friendship? In 1 Samuel, it says, and it came to pass when he had had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. There's a intimacy, there's a oneness in that friendship. And now when I use the word intimacy, intimacy is not sexual. Now all the eyes look at me. Intimacy is not just sexual. Intimacy is a closeness, aiming for the biblical design of oneness in relationship, in friendship. This is the type of friendship that David and Solomon had. And so when you learn to be led by the Spirit as to who you walk with, God will link you to people that you can trust, right? That you can walk alongside with. And a lot of this comes out of when you face adversity. Sometimes you'll face adversity and there are opportunities for offense. Have any of you been there with friends? Like I can think of, you know, I'm just looking around this room at people that have walked years with me, right? And as you walk with people, how many of you know there's going to be opportunities for offense? And maturity and Christian friendship knows how to stay the course and walk and work those things out, because God is a God of reconciliation. Ephesians 4 also says of friendship, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as what? God in Christ forgave you. You can only forgive others if you've learned and have accepted the forgiveness of Christ. You can only love one another if you first accepted the love of Christ. You can only friend biblically through the friendship that you experience with Christ. So it all starts with him. Now the danger of this, and I'm going to be talking as I go through these four points, I'm going to be talking about how there is a shadow side to this, meaning that if Christ is not the center of just loving this way unconditionally, if you're not led by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit, what can happen? The shadow side of this is unremedied vulnerability. Unremedied vulnerability. What do I mean by that? Is that you just feel like you have, you know, in order for you to be a friend, you create an environment for vulnerability, and that's good. But if there is no hope in your vulnerability, then all you are doing is having a cry fest. Are you all with me? Right? This is not Oprah. For those of you who remember Oprah Winfrey back in the days, okay, for all the new Generation Z the people, that there was a lady, her name was Oprah Winfrey, and she had this TV show. It was the hugest TV show. And everybody, she was well known for people coming onto her show and just crying on her couch. And all of the women in the crowd and the men in the crowd would just cry with the person crying, and then she would get high ratings and no one would solve anything, right? This is not Oprah, this is Christianity. Right? The point of Christianity is the hope that we have in Him, the glorious love that we experience. When we think about 1 Corinthians 13, He says that the greatest things that will remain, right, is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these things is love. When you are in an unconditional loving friendship, the hope that we have remedies the vulnerability. So when I am being vulnerable with my friends, I'm also praying that that person, or praying alongside with that person, to believe that the hope of Christ will remedy the situation. We are walking this out together. This is not, as we say in Tagalog for all my Filipinos here, this is not chismes, di ba? Right? And again, for all of my Samoans in here, this is not faikakala, right? This is not gossip. You know, you don't get together just to be vulnerable for the sake of vulnerability and just spew your stuff out. And then before you know it, you're talking about other people who aren't even in the room. Hello, somebody. I went really quiet. Because there's no remedy in that. In fact, you make it worse. Let me tell you something. If you call those people friends who talk about people behind their back, believe you me, when you're not in the room, they're talking behind you, behind your back. That's not friendship. That's not biblical friendship. Are you okay? I love you. I love you. I'm kind of awkward on the stage because I feel like I'm talking down. But like, you know, I want you to receive this out of love, because I want you to understand that true friendship looks for the solutions found in the truth of the gospel. This is really important. As a friend to my friends, I want to support my friends, but I want to be able to find a venue to speak the truth in love. I'm not going to talk about it to somebody else so that we can pray for them. If I can go to them and appeal to them, hey, this is what I see in your life, let's look towards a remedy. Unremedied vulnerability is pointless. And this is a sign of immaturity in the faith. So if you want to grow in Christ, you must understand that when the people that you walk with are in friendship with you, you must be seeking the hope of healing in Christ. The reason why I share my stuff with my trusted friends is so that we can walk together towards Christ to find His hope, to find His love, to find His healing, His solutions. That's really important. And here in Every Nation Brisbane, this is our desire for all of us to walk in these types of relationships. And these are built over time, because trust. How many of you have seen, right? Have you noticed that the Bible doesn't say trust one another? It says love one another as I have commanded you. It doesn't say trust one another, because trust is built in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit. You don't just trust everybody, but we want to provide a venue where you can build relationships where trust can be earned. Let me be the first to say this too. Just because I hold the position of pastor in this room does not necessarily mean that I am trustworthy. And unfortunately, what has happened is within the church, we've trusted people too quickly just because they hold position, rather than earning that trust through friendship, through relationship, through proximity. I want to earn your trust. Don't see me as just because I'm the one holding the microphone as the man of God, as if all the men in here aren't men of God. We are all men and women of God if we are walking in Christ. Amen. Love you, church. All right, let's move on. Okay, so we got the first one. In friendship, we are unconditionally loving. Secondly, we are life-giving and generous. As in terms of how to be a good friend, we are life-giving and generous. I love this because I love being around certain people and they just bring life when you're around them. Do you know these kinds of people? Like when you get, oh, I can't wait to see this person because every time I'm with them, they just bring me so much joy. Yeah. Any of you been around these people? You know, or they're generous. They just give away so much. They're so giving. They're so loving. They're one with you because they learn how to love their neighbor as themselves, right? They've learned that. That's so awesome. My friend Julian said, a good friend is someone who knows how to initiate, be it a conversation, invitations to go out, or just hang out. If one party has to always initiate, is it really a friendship? That's a pretty good point. Shem, who used to be a part of this church and now living in Japan, she said, a good friend is someone who will wash the dishes when they come over and eat your food. That's a good point. My Niuean friend in New Zealand said that, in one word, a good friend is unconditional. My cousin Lucia, and this is my childhood cousin that we grew up together, she's of course going to answer it out of our relationship. She says, a friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg, even though you're slightly cracked. I think that she was just being personal there, and that's okay. I can take it on the chin because she's a friend and she's a relative, right? There are friends who destroy each other, Proverbs 18 verse 24 says, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. So the part of the way you can tell who a real friend is they build you up. They don't destroy you. This is really important. These are the friends that bring the life of Jesus wherever they go. They bring the light of Christ and help those who can't see their way in the darkness of life. We all face this. They build, they do not destroy. I love this translation of the verse in the Proverbs, Proverbs 25, in the Message. It says, reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in sweltering heat, refreshing. Are you a refreshing kind of friend? Or do you have refreshing friends who are around you? Now, the danger about this, like obviously on the shadow side of this, is when you are a person who is generous, sometimes people can share with an agenda. You ever seen this? Right? It's like, I expect something back from you when I share with you. Or I expect something back with you. If I'm being generous to you, I expect something back. Is that really unconditional? That's kind of conditional, right? Have you ever seen those commercials and at the end, the terms and conditions apply? You know that man that reads it in a deep voice and he goes, faster than everything else, the side effects include that you will have cancer and you're... It's like he's praying in tongues, right? It's like that's the kind of conditions that you can often have in your friendship. I will be friends with you as long as you don't fail me and as long as you don't destroy me and as long as you don't, you know, like, as long as you pay for my food every second time. As if I pay for you first, then you've got to pay for me second, then I'll pay for you third. There's a ratio to this, right? There's all these conditions to our friendship. So if you're sharing with an agenda, much like this woman in the photo, right, who's taking a photo of herself being a friend. Look at me, I'm a friend, right? You gotta be careful that you're not sneaky with your generosity. Because then, is it really generosity? Can we be an influencer without the necessity of popularity? Are we after more Instagram followers than we are helping people to follow Jesus, right? When you operate that way, when you are sharing with an agenda, the Bible is very clear, and we touched on this verse last week from Matthew 6, that when you share this way in order to get something back, when you get that something back, you have already received your reward, right? Do generosity as if your left hand doesn't know that your right hand is giving, because the Lord honors what is done in secret. The third aspect of a friendship, a biblical friendship, is that a good friend will provide correction for a life of thriving. Correction for a life of thriving. I put a spinal cord model there because I feel like I need some alignment, Paulie. But, you know, good friendship is when you have people in your life that will speak the truth in love. Pastor Caleb in one of our churches in Sydney, he said, someone who is a confidant, someone you can run to and not afraid to tell you the plain truth. He or she is there to cover your back when you slip up. Jordana, who's the director of the show that we're doing, she says, someone who is not afraid to lovingly correct you, even if it's uncomfortable. Mark says, someone who is not afraid to tell you the truth. Laura, of course, who's a leader in our church, says, someone who tells you when you have something in your teeth. Yeah, I've got one of these kinds of friends. Michael, not the Michael at the back here, I'm going to censor what he said. And he said, someone who has the guts to call me out on my stuff when I'm in dire need of a wake-up call. All the real people know what I'm saying when I do this, right? I love my friend Michael. Do you have friends like that in your life that can bring correction? Proverbs says, and again, verse 27, chapter 27, verse 5 and 6, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. That's really telling, right? If you are around a bunch of people who will always say yes to everything you say and not lovingly appeal to when things aren't going right, that's not real friendship. Let me ask you this. Have you created the venue or the environment for them to honestly share with you? Because sometimes you can move in position, or whether you work in a company or you're around your life group or you're around a group of people where you feel like you're elevating and you can't take it. You become so, like we touched on it last week, where you become really sensitive to anything that's said of criticism towards you. Think about it. Think about the last time somebody corrected you, and think about how you responded or reacted. Because if you react, you can often push away opportunities for deepening friendships in those moments. I often find, you know, like the more that I grow in Christ, I try to be that friend to people as much as I can. And I know that some of us come from cultures where it's almost taboo to confront somebody on what they're going through. But I'm here to tell you today that kingdom culture would have us find venues, not social media, find venues in private to help bring correction or alignment, or look at the Word of God to help people on their journey towards Him. Are you that sort of friend who is not afraid to help bring correction? And there's ways to do this. You don't do it in public. You privately appeal to them and say, hey, I've noticed this. Or you can use the sandwich or burger principle, right? You feed a compliment, then you bring, you address the correction, and then you also bring, hey, there's hope in this. Like, let's go on this journey together. But I'm here for you. But I feel like as a friend, I need to tell you the truth. Do you create the sort of environment where people feel open to share with you? Now, obviously, this is not everybody. As a creative myself, right? Whenever I like write a song, or whenever I had to do anything musically, because music is kind of my stream of creativity. Early on in my songwriting, I was always apprehensive to share my songs because I was fearful that people would critique me. But as you mature, you notice that, okay, for the people that I respect their opinions that are bringing correction, I'm looking for certain people, right? Number one, they're bearing fruit in the area of which I am pursuing. Number two, even if they're not bearing fruit, they are close to me. One of the things my sister would learn from Bible college, she always taught with me, and it's rung in my head ever since, is she said, you know, when your house is burning down, I'm not prophesying over your houses, by the way. If your house is burning down, the friend that you want to receive criticism from is the one who will run into your house and take you out. The friend you don't want to receive criticism from are those who are standing at the fire, looking at the fire going, ha ha, they deserve that. Take Instagram photos. See, I was there. See, so it's either people that are mentoring you that are further down the track in terms of years of experience that you're like, okay, I can take that advice because I see that fruit in your life. Or it's people that have your best interests at heart that are bringing that correction. Do you have these types of people in your life? James chapter 5 says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. When I read this scripture, from James. It actually is implying that it is a Christian responsibility for us to be these types of friends. Tim Keller, the late Tim Keller, it breaks my heart to say that. He said, there is no such thing, and we may have varying opinions on this statement, but just hear me out. There's no such thing as friendship evangelism. What he's saying is what he's implying there, and he goes on to say, all we need to do is be a friend and carry the gospel with us. So if you're living a gospel-centered life and you're building friendship, the gospel will come out of your life and help to align and bring correction anyway. Not in a judgmental way, but out of a relationship that is built with plenty of deposits through your generosity and love. That means to say that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes, we can be weird with our Christianity. Like when we think, when you hear a message, and I'm all for evangelism. I think it is a Christian's responsibility to evangelize, to preach the gospel. But sometimes we can hear it like it's a project, and we treat our friends like they're projects. You know what I'm saying? And so you hear a message about evangelism, maybe from me, and then you go to meet your friend, and then you're like, is this seat saved? And then you go, no, it's not saved, but I am, and you can be. It's like this agenda that's like a rabid dog, like, gospel, I got to get the gospel in you. It's like, come on, let the gospel work in you so that it can come out through you. Otherwise, you look at your friends like projects. Get the gospel so deep in you that it just flows. It just, your cup runs over with the gospel. Right? I'm just reminded of the rappers Cross Movement. This is dating me, for any of you who remember Cross Movement. And they once had a song that talked about how, as long as I've got breath in my nostrils, it's gospel. The gospel oozes out of my spirit. It's gospel. It just out of your life comes the gospel, and not in a weird way, but just out of a generous and loving spirit. You are countercultural. You don't need to be weird and look at your friends like they're projects. But it is our Christian responsibility to be vessels that God would use to bring about gospel-centered alignment and will in Him. The issue is, on one side of the spectrum, we become so religious and so legalistic that it's like people hear more about what we're not for than what we are for. And this distances us. So any approach we have with anybody that's not of our faith is just weird, and it's just judgmental and condescending and politically armed. And then on the other side of the spectrum, our Christianity is so secretive. It's personal. It's so personal, even you don't know you're Christian. I'm surprising myself. I'm a Christian. I didn't know that. And so people can't tell the difference between when you're around your Christian friends, you look like a Christian, but it's like a chameleon. When you're around your friends that don't know Christ, you just are not Christian. You compromise in every single area, and you just learn to play the chameleon game. This is not true friendship. God's got so much more for you. He wants to power you through His love, that love flows out of you into society. We need to be friends to Brisbane. Ephesians 4. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Everybody say, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Now, the shadow side of this, right, if we are to grow up in Him, is that we can often experience either rifts in our relationships or floods. What does this look like? Pastor Jim LaFoon, one of the leaders of our movement of churches, a prophetic leader, he talks about, many of you will have heard this during School of Empowerment, he talks about the riverbanks, speaking the truth and love. You need both, truth and love. If you have all truth and no love, flood. If you have all love and no truth, flood. Again, truth, 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 legalism, 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 because it's all word, word, without the spirit and without the love flowing out of it. If you have all love, love, and this is human-centered love, not the agape love that we're talking about. If it's all love, love, love based and not truth and love, what ends up happening is, oh, I was going to tell you, but I was afraid of what you might say. That's not true friendship. So what we want to do is allow for the two banks of God, for His Spirit to flow freely through the banks of truth and love. You're with me? So when we talk about truth, how does your life line up with God's design for it? And when we talk about love, it should be life-giving. For those of you who are familiar with Israelite geography, in the north is the Sea of Galilee. In the south is the Dead Sea. And between them is the same river, the River Jordan. One of the reasons why I named my daughter Jordan, and also Mike is the goat, right? So in Galilee, there it's so teeming with life that there are species of water life that you can't find anywhere else in the world. Why? Because there's a flow in and out, in and out, in and out. In the Dead Sea, if any of you have been to Israel, like I have had the opportunity to, you take those floating pictures, right? Why? Because this salt content is so dense that it keeps you afloat, that there's no opportunity for life because it's so salty. And yet that same river flows in but doesn't flow out. There's something to be said about having the inflow of the Holy Spirit, but finding venues for it to flow out in generosity, in hospitality, in love towards those that God has called you to friend. I'm winding up here. Here's the last one. A good friend strives for relational proximity. A good friend strives for relational proximity. What do I mean by this? That doesn't mean that geographically they have to be next to you all the time. How many of you know you can have a deep relationship with somebody as a friend, but in the distance, right? Thank God for Zoom. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for social media. Thank God for Skype. Remember Skype? It's almost like Skype was a thing of the past. Proximity is really important. If you call yourself a friend, fight for proximity. Joy, one of my friends in Singapore, some of you met her, she said, as someone who will sit next to you and let you know that they are there for you. Nick, our cellist, he said, a good friend has the ability to listen. Nicole, who's a part of this church, she said, someone who can read you without saying a word and turns up even when you say you are okay. Proximity. Bing, one of our pastors in Canberra, she said, a good friend is someone who will listen, whatever that is, not judge you, encourage you, continue to love you for who you are, remind you of who Jesus is in our lives. It's funny, my personal trainer, Sheikh even answered, he said this, seeing each other, rarely feeling comfortable with each other like it was yesterday, support when needed but never expected, low maintenance, no dramas, understanding and respect of others' life choices and different ways of thinking. Amanda, who used to be a part of our campus ministry as well, she said, someone you are comfortable to share your innermost thoughts to and who give godly counsel. And of course, the birthday girl, Alma, she said, a good friend is someone you can trust, correct you in love, confident to have courageous conversations with you, cry with you, fight for you, believe in you, is consistently there for you, someone that you can be vulnerable with, being there when you need them, believing that they need you too, celebrating your victory, adding value to your life. Love this. These are all things that you do in proximity to one another. 1 Samuel gives us this example, right? When we look at 1 Samuel 30, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words but with speech and with actions and in truth. Talking about how biblical friends go the extra mile. A perverse person stirs up conflict and gossip separates close friends. If we want proximity, we're to avoid this in our lives. The shadow side to this, right? If you're fighting for proximity, is that you can appear like you need that friendship in that proximity. But sometimes the shadow side can be that we have a need to be needed. You'll understand what I'm saying when I say this, right? That your proximity actually flows out of neediness. You say you're there for people, but actually what can emerge from that is a savior complex where you feel like there's an eclipse where you're trying to, good biblical friendship will help you point you towards Jesus, not become so much Jesus in your life that they actually are the only contact point for Jesus. You have to talk to his representative, right? As a pastor, right, my heart for you is you develop your own relationship with God that thrives, that I'm not the sole spokesperson for Jesus. In fact, you're all called, if you are in Christ, you're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, and then we're all called to represent him well. But we point people towards him, not to ourselves. Like, if you want to see Jesus, you want to experience Jesus, it has to be through me. That's how cults start, and we are about discipleship and not cloning. So just be careful of this. Be careful that you don't become a fellowship junkie. You all know what a fellowship junkie is? It's like the only part of their Christianity exists when they have to be with other people. And that when they are doing their own Christianity around themselves, they start freaking out. Oh no, how do I do this? I need to get together with everybody. Like, that's good. It's important that we walk in community, but your community should strengthen you so that when you are out and representing Christ where God has called you to, you shine. That you are a life giver, not a spiritual vampire. To the point when it's time to be isolated, sometimes you start freaking out. I started by talking about how I got all these answers from social media, right? I was looking at the number of Instagram followers I have, the number of Facebook friends I have, and I was just like, I can't honestly say that all of these people are friends. They're people that I may have met, people that when I've gone to serve in certain places that they want to follow, or they you know, like we met one time, or maybe I said hi, and oh, yeah, let's add, and all that sort of stuff. And I know, like, the more you grow in popularity, like, there's people with, like, literally a million friends, but realistically, you can't have that many friends, especially when you're fighting for proximity. Just so we all know here, there's a specific reason why we felt like God was leading us to get, when we were leasing a property, we were looking for a space that could be this big, but not too big. You know, the British anthropologist, Robin Dunbar, has the theory about that you can only have 150 meaningful friendships at any particular time in your life. Anything beyond that is not a friendship. And this is just rough figures, obviously, but like, we wanted to create a space where we learn to do friendship well. If we get a bigger space, then people will just come to church rather than learn how to friend. And that's our objective. When I think about why and how God has designed the church, he's designed us to walk together in relationship with one another. Not just what you can get from the church, but how you can be connected to the church. Because guess what? You have something to give to people around you. There is something that you bring that we all need. And I'm not just talking financially as well. I'm talking about your gifts. I'm talking about the love and the generosity, the conversations, your story, and how God is working your story into the beautiful tapestry that is his church. We use friend, right, like it's a verb now. So our mission now is to learn how to friend here so that we can go and friend Brisbane. There are people around you that need this friendship that you have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs he bears. So what makes a good friend? Someone who's unconditionally loving, life-giving, generous, brings correction for our life of thriving, and strives for relational proximity. How many of you want a friend like that? You're like, Pastor Nelia, I want that friend. I need a friend like that. I need a husband. I mean, I need a friend like that. Please, Lord, give me one. Let me just ask that question a different way. Not, do we want a friend like that? But if I was to summarize what I'm challenging you with an analogy, it is this, right? That God, you know, in order for us to have these types of friends, it's like my dear friend, Pastor GP, our pastor in Penang, our Every Nation pastor in Penang. When I visited Penang, many of you remember David Lim, who's part of this church, has moved to Melbourne. His dad pastors that church. And I remember visiting Penang, and we're about to go down to his car in the basement, the first floor of the basement. And we just finished eating, makan. And then we're going down. And then, you know, my dad jokes are pretty terribly awesome, like awesomely terrible, however you want to say that. But his jokes are like next level, right? He's like the mentor in dad jokes. And so I remember he was like, we're in the elevator going down to the first level of the basement. And he said to me, Pastor Nelly, you want to learn how to make friends? I said, yes. And he said, and he pointed to the button that he pressed to get to the car. And the button said, be one. I was like, I bow down to you, king of dad jokes. So before we ask for God for friends like this, we must ask the question, are you a good friend who is unconditionally loving, life-giving and generous, bringing correction for a life of thriving and strives for relational proximity? Now, here's the danger. You look at that statement, you look at that question, you think, oh, it's works-based. So there's a third level to this. It's not asking that question without asking first the question, have you received Jesus' friendship? Because Jesus alone is unconditionally loving. He is life-giving and generous. He does bring correction so that you can thrive in life. And he strives for relational proximity so much that he left heaven to earth and laid his life down for his friends for relational proximity. That is biblical friendship. I'll end with this thought. I'll share this story not as a point of bragging, but as a point of correction even in my own life. So as we've been saying, like we had this production. I shared this story with some of our crew who were praying before the production yesterday. And so it was so humbling. So on Friday, because we've been busy with the production, on Friday I was like, oh, that's right, I'm preaching on Sunday. I should review my sermon. I haven't looked at it for a little while. So I looked at it and I said, okay, I'm going to go to the office because I got a couple hours free before I have to pick up Zion from school, my son. Let me come to the office. And I was racing to get here. Now, within the speed limit, just so you know, right at the speed limit, right? Right there. And as I'm driving up, because many of you know, I live in Mount Gravatt, driving up Cavendish, I see a guy, rare sight, Paulie. He's hitchhiking. I never see this. And I drive right past him. Because I'm like, I got to work on my message. I'm doing the work of the Lord. And I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, work on the Lord, huh? You better turn this car around and do the work of the Lord. Like, oh, come on, man. I've only got 2 hours. I got to review myself. So as I'm getting more and more convicted, the more and more I'm pulling Camp Hill, Kooparoo, I'm like, oh. Then I see a roundabout. You've got a chance to go back now. I'm like, oh, man. And you know what the Holy Spirit dropped in? A parable that I've preached so many times, Ernie, is the Good Samaritan. That the professional Christians, the priest and the Levite, they were supposed to be doing the work of the Lord, and they went right past the guy who needed help. Because I was using every excuse. I mean, he was half my size, but I was thinking, oh, he might hurt me. Everything, right? Like going through my mind. What if he, you know, like tries to take over my wife's car, which we need a new car, by the way. It's just falling apart. What if he tries to steal our broken down car? Like using every excuse in my brain. So, okay. So I turn around. And I just sense the Lord gently saying to me, you're not going to be like that priest and the Levite. Remember how I got off my high horse to get down to you when you were broken and fix your wounds and bring you into the hotel so that you could receive healing. So I pull up, pick him up. Catherine, he was a DJ. Young DJ is from Lennox Heads down in near Byron Bay. and he's up here for a DJ competition, young buck, but he's got no money. Apparently, you know, they don't pay well, DJs, these days. And so we're having this conversation. And so if you know the geography around here, I'm pulling up Cavendish and I'm like, okay, I'll drop him as far as Coolparoo. And then I hear Jesus say, oh, I didn't go halfway for you. Looked down at my gas, it was full. Tina filled my car. I was like, you're going to take him all the way to the valley. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, you better have my sermon. It's your fault if the sermon's not good. So I get to his hotel in Fortitude Valley. Interesting, right? Because he needed to go to a hotel. The Samaritan brought him to a hotel. And right as I'm pulling into the valley, God said, empty your wallet and give him everything. But I'm just a missionary. And this was like, you know, like every second word was like colorful that he was saying. And so I had to figure out a way to give him the money and not be weird, right? So I said, okay, I make no bones about sharing with people that I'm a pastor, because what I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to hide behind my occupation. In fact, I'm trying to bring correction for the public image of our occupation. So I said, hey, I'm a pastor. In fact, I live at that church that we're driving past now because we need to take you all the way to the valley because the Holy Spirit told me to, right? So we pull in and I'm there with him and I say to him, hey, I'm a pastor and like I told you and, you know, my God told me that he loves you and here's some money from him. And he looked at me and started tearing up. I was like, no time to tear up. Go in there. I got to work on my message, man. He's like, thank you, man. And we, you know, no one got saved that day. There wasn't like revival. You didn't start praying in tongues or anything. He just got an experience of, you know, from God who loved him. We swapped Instagram accounts, you know, and that's going to be, I don't know if I'll ever see him again. But I had to model for him friendship. And I was convicted. And the reason why I share this story openly this way is not to, again, put on blast my generosity, but put on blast my tendency towards disobedience, towards being inconvenienced because of modeling friendship for this young man. But as I was driving back, I called my wife and I was just like crying. I was like, man, God, you've been such a good friend to me. How many times have I missed opportunities to be this sort of friend for other people? Because I've been so busy doing your work without modeling your work in me, through me to others. So I stand here as your pastor, not as somebody who's got it perfect. In fact, the tendency is to be so busy doing the work of the Lord, you forget the Lord of the work. But I've received my invitation through that experience. God's so good, preaching my own sermon to me before I preach it to you. That I ask you, have you received Jesus' invitation to friendship yourself? And I was sharing with the team yesterday, the whole point of this production is not performing arts. It's not community theater. It's to build friendships with the people within this community that don't know the friendship of Jesus. If you have experienced that friendship, you have no right to keep it to yourself. I don't even know what time it is. Tonight, today, this morning is an opportunity for repentance and just say, sorry, God. Sorry, God, that I've kept this to myself. And maybe we need to experience his friendship again, and I'm going to invite us to respond. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're receiving this call to repentance and to alignment towards biblical friendship, I want to pray specifically for two groups of people. Number one, I want to pray for those who may be in the room today and have not experienced that friendship with Jesus before. And you're reading this and you're like, man, I want this friendship. And then for those of us who are in this room, and I want to make this clear, maybe you've forgotten about this relationship that you have with Jesus, that your Christianity has become so religious, so void of relationship, intimacy, thriving. The invitation is to come back to your first love and receive his invitation to friendship. And if that answer that you see on the screen to that question is yes, then it's a matter of walking even closer to him and experiencing his friendships in your life, that he may friend in you to friend through you. So if you're here this morning and your response is either way, You want to experience his friendship, or you want to re-experience his friendship so that his friendship can flow in you and through you again. Can I invite you to stand to your feet this morning so I can pray for you specifically? Just take a stand for him this morning and say, God, I want to be used by you to be your friend. Don't worry about the friend next to you. This is your opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are taking this stand today to come back to their first love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just for your desire, Lord God, to call us into friendship, just to re-engage with you in this friendship. Forgive us, God, if our Christianity has become so routine where it's just more about doing good than it is about walking in relationship with you, in relationship with one another. Help us to experience the glorious friendship yet again, even deeper. Thank you, Lord, that you call the desolate into relationship, into friendship. I thank you, God, that you are calling us deeper in this friendship. We receive your love. We receive your friendship this morning in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys for taking that stand this morning. I'm going to call the worship team up before we worship today. How many of you are here today and you're receiving the challenge to say, yes, I'm going to be that kind of friend to those who are around me? Life-giving, generous. Then I want us to all to stand. If that's you, just lift your hands to him. Just stand to your feet. We're going to worship God today. If your desire is to be that kind of friend in the specific sphere of influence that God has put you in, then I want you to lift your hands to him and surrender. Say, God, pour your spirit out in me that I may be friend, those who are around me that don't know you, but that I may move out of the friendship that I have in you. Father, I just pray for all of us who have our hands lifted. I believe that as your hands are lifted this morning, there are specific people that are around you. And God's even breaking your heart. Like he's broken mine for so many of my friends who don't know Jesus. Don't know this friendship that we get to have. Father, break our hearts for what breaks your heart this morning. We pray the prayer of John the Baptist, Lord, that we may decrease, that you may increase in our lives. Let your spirit overflow in us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so this morning. For we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.